Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Will it crush Wednesday? Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Other side of the glass, we'll talk the quick draw. A little more detailed later in the hour. Figure this one out. Just another lost and lonely wife. Oh, man. Who we got? I'm going to have to tap out on this one.
Candy Staton? You're not the biggest fan?
Don't know who she is. Song sounds familiar, though.
Disrespectful.
I'm not disrespecting her. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. Knows who the hell I am? I'm 2 for 4, by the way. And the Woman Crush Wednesday song. Still waiting on the Orioles lineup. Because that means somebody's getting traded, Nolan. We'll see. As soon as we find the lineup, we'll let you know who's in it, who's not. We don't know Dean Kramer's pitching against Barrios. But Ravens back at camp today, 1:15, as they're, 8 days away, preseason opener against the Colts. And then next Tuesday's the joint practice from the Baltimore Banner, joining us on the Window Nation guest hotline, Childs Walker. Childs, what's up?
Doing well, guys. Ready to get out there and sweat this afternoon.
All right. Well, what are your impressions of the protocol that the Ravens have put out here in regards to the kickers? Hoyland and Loop were scheduled days off and all of this good stuff. And Hoyland was the guy yesterday. Looper was not. Randy Brown and, you know, John Harbaugh certainly know more than we do in that regard. But when you're replacing, an all-time legend and Justin Tucker, wouldn't you want to see what you got as often as you can?
I mean, I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, they're seeing plenty of them. I mean, they've seen plenty of them, and they will continue to see plenty of them. And look, that's what they think is the best thing in terms of maximizing their life strength, putting them in the best position to succeed. I just don't have a strong opinion on it one way or another. It's fine. I don't think we're going to come out of camp not having a sense of what those two guys can do, other than that, you can't know what they're going to do under game pressure until they're under game pressure.
Childs, I was telling Bob earlier, the only thing that I wish they would change a little bit, and I don't have a problem with Loop having a day off, but if he's got a day off, I would prefer it if he's in all his pads, in his cleats, and carry his helmet around, not walk out there with tennis shoes on and no helmet or anything and no pads in. Just, dress like everybody else.
No, I hear you. I hear you, Vinny. And it very much, you're right. It has been like that. I mean, those kickers on their off days, it felt like they're not even there, right? I mean, they're maybe there and they're there in shorts, kind of off to the side, not in the mix of much of anything. And so I get that. But again, I don't think that we're going to come out of this next 5 weeks with a lack of sense of what those guys bring to the table.
Now, I've been impressed with Sanusi Kane. I think 21 shows up a lot. I know that, he was in on the play that hurt Likely, but I just think that he's been playing pretty good football. And I think in the preseason games, I think he'll show up because I think he'll make a lot of tackles in the run stuff.
Yeah, he's made a lot of plays. He's definitely, that great mass of defensive backs who are competing for jobs. And not that I think he was in danger of not being on the roster one way or another. I mean, I certainly would not have him as a bubble guy, and I don't think anybody really had him as a bubble guy going into camp. But in terms of a guy who can take advantage of the opportunity that's there, especially back at safety, I mean, he's the guy who sort of jumped up and raised his hand. I mean, he had a tip that led to a pick, last week, and, he's kind of done something that you like in almost every practice. So I agree with you. I think he's put himself in a position not just to be on the roster and play special teams, but to actually contribute to the defense.
Who's a couple guys, Childs, that have stood out to you thus far?
Well, I mean, I think Mike Green stood out once they put the pads on. That's sort of an obvious one. Now, I mean, that's a position that's going to be tougher to pop, when you're not attached. So it's been nice to see him sort of rev it up this week. Same position group. I know you've asked several times about Ojabo. I mean, mm-hmm. I think he's had some nice days so far. And, it seems like the coaches are happy with what they're seeing from him. That's the vibe that you get. Those are a couple that come to mind. I mean, everybody has said the name Ruben Lowry, the undrafted kid, you know.
He showed yesterday that he can't cover very well. You know, that's what disappointed me yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, so maybe he's better, you know, as a dimer at safety. I don't know. I mean, I think that's probably more of a camp story. I mean, I don't think he's going to be out there playing a lot of snaps during the season. I mean, he's probably a practice squad guy, but you know, he's certainly a guy who's popped in terms of his ability to create turnovers. I'm trying to think of an offensive guy. People have said this, but I mean, you know, Keaton Mitchell seems to have his explosiveness back. That's been good to see. I don't know. I guess those are the ones that come to mind.
I think the biggest surprise to me thus far, Tez Walker offensively. I mean, yesterday he showed up about 81. Whenever like a ball is thrown to him, he always catches it. You know, that's he made a couple nice plays yesterday, like diving and stuff. I'm really impressed with. I think he's made a huge jump.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, he was extremely inconsistent at this time last year, which was disappointing given, you know, some of the buzz about him as a potential draft value. And you know, you saw it. He was not able to put much of an imprint on the season after having that uneven summer. So I agree with that. And I mean, I guess he's a guy who could conceivably benefit from Likely's brief absence. You know, could there be a few more opportunities for him because of that? Maybe. I don't know. But I mean, he's, you know, again, like Kane, he's a guy who's put himself in position to take advantage of those opportunities.
And on that long run that Lamar made yesterday, I think Malachi Starks learned a little bit about Lamar's speed yesterday because his angle was not very good.
Well, and it's always fun. I mean, Lamar does not turn on the jets for most of practice, but he tends to do it once or twice in the course of a practice. So, yeah, I would imagine that's eye-opening, even if you have played at Georgia.
Now, Childs, one of my biggest concerns is depth in the O-line. You know, I mean, all right, I'll give him Ben Cleveland as one. Noteboom is okay, you know, but after that, I'm concerned.
Yeah, I agree with you that it's a worry. And we're sort of assuming that, you know, the two guards are going to play well, right? And I don't know that that's a given either. So, I mean, you know, in that sense, I think the depth is even more of a problem, you know, because you don't, and I mean, obviously you don't have a guy like McCary who you're comfortable kind of throwing in anywhere. I mean, as you said, at Noteboom, they seem, you know, reasonably confident with him as a swing tackle. But I mean, you know, if you have an injury to Ronnie or Linderbaum, I mean, you know, or one of the guards doesn't, you know, can't handle the job. I mean, things get dicey in a hurry. I agree with you. They do not have a lot of guys that you feel good about throwing in. I mean, and I do think that's why. I mean, Harbaugh said it last week. I mean, that's why the Cleveland signing is makes sense, because he's a guy that you feel comfortable just putting in there. I mean, you know, regardless of what you think of what he does during practice, if you have to throw him in for a game, you know, he can at least handle himself. They don't have a long list of guys like that.
Childs Walker, Baltimore Banner, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Childs, last thing for you, get to the defense. We know the fancy names and the first round picks and the free agent signings. What about Tavius Robinson? Kind of had a breakout season a little bit in 2024. What's the anticipated role for him here in 25?
To me, he's just a guy that you're always going to be happy to have around. I mean, I don't know that he's, I mean, to me, he's never popped as a guy who's going to make a ton of plays and get a huge contract. I mean, I don't think he has the sort of the high end pass rushing juice, although I do think he's gotten better at that. But I mean, he's kind of willing to do whatever they ask him. He's a big, relatively powerful guy. I mean, he did have some production as a pass rusher last year. So, I mean, you know, again, he's one of those guys that you always need to sort of fill out a roster at a reasonable cost. And you're always happy he's there. And he's going to play. I mean, he's not going to play 80% of the snaps, but he's going to be part of the game plan every week. And you need guys like that.
What's going on, Childs, at the Baltimore Banner here on this Woman Crush Wednesday?
You know, lots of football, lots of Orioles. I mean, that's you know, same thing that's going on with you guys.
All right, Childs, have fun out there. One winning drive. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
There's Childs Walker, everybody. Speaking of baseball, Orioles, MLB, the trade rumors, Mullins, Laureano, Mets are interested. Lineup's not out yet, Nolan. Who's getting traded? Orioles 12:35. We'll talk about that with Jim Hunter in that time frame, as a matter of fact. Got news from the Nest, top of the hour. But Whip Around coming up next. Then Vinny breaks down the camp. The standouts, I don't want to say disappointments, but guys were off to slow starts. Let's just say that.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
All right, time for the Whip. Woman Crush Wednesday. Lineups are out for the Orioles and the Blue Jays coming up here at 12:35. Obviously, keep you up to date on the score throughout the final hour and a half of our program. Orioles, they sweep the doubleheader yesterday from Toronto. They win the nightcap 3-2. Adley Rutschman, game-winning double off the wall. Scores Gunnar Henderson. Orioles are 50-58 on the year, 27-26. Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Dean Kramer's on the hill, 8-7, 4-23 for Toronto. First place in the division, but Orioles are kind of putting it on them. 63-46. 3 games below 500, however, on the road, 26-29. Jose Barrios, 7-4, 383. He's had a career-long success against Baltimore. For the Birds, Jackson Holliday leading off at second base. Jordan Westberg's at third. Gunnar Henderson's your shortstop. Adley cleaning up the DH. Ryan O'Hearn's at first base. Colton Kowser's in left field. Cedric Mullins in center field. Dylan Carlson's in right. Alex Jackson, I should say, behind the plate. For the Toronto Blue Jays, Lopepito's in right field. Clement is at second base. Vlad Jr.'s your DH. Bichette's your shortstop. Barger's at third. Schneider's in left. Wagner's at first. Straw's in center. Sanchez behind the plate. So that's your matchups in the game that's coming up here in a little more than an hour as the Orioles look to sweep this 4-game set. Off day tomorrow. And then heading out to Wrigley Field to take on the Chicago Cubs. Traded Sir Anthony Dominguez yesterday for Juwan Watts-Brown, 10th-rated prospect in the Toronto organization. Right-hander, Oklahoma State, third-round pick a couple years ago. Big-time slider already, according to MLB Pipeline, the 8th-best prospect in the Orioles system. So, flipping, don't know what this guy's going to turn out to be, but expiring contract. Blue Jays had a bullpen need, so we'll see how this all turns out for the Birds of Baltimore. NFL news, Trey Hendrickson going to end his holdout. Going to show up today for a training camp for the Cincinnati Bengals. They signed Shamar Stewart last week, got that drama done. So there you go. The two big storylines surrounding maybe the Ravens' biggest threat in the AFC North, they've been solved for now.
Well, the thing with Hendrickson, though, Bob, is, I mean, we saw him on the screen up there. He was in street clothes going to practice. So he's holding in because he didn't want to lose that $50,000 a day. And I'm guessing that a lot of times, you know, it's for that reason. And then from the team side, they'll say, listen, we're not doing anything till you show up. You show up, and then we'll start negotiating. So that could be, you know, the reason also. That's usually a common thing is you know, what it's easier to negotiate, especially if the agent's in town where you can talk face-to-face, then things more than likely get done. But with Hendrickson, nothing's going to happen soon. I mean, he doesn't even have Bengals shorts or a T-shirt on yet.
But does this maybe generate a little momentum into getting things rolling? The fact that a good faith gesture on his part to the team to show up to this
thing. Yeah, I think that's kind of what I had just said, you know, and I think that is definitely part of it. Good faith gesture on his part because they probably, like I just said, that they probably told him, we're not getting anything done unless you come in.
Whip Around, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. This day in Orioles history, it is July the 30th. Believe it or not, we're coming up on the end of the month. 1983 Memorial Stadium. Eddie Murray drove in 2 runs. Sweet Swiggy Kenny Singleton, 3-for-5 with a ribby. Al Bunbury, 2-for-4 with one run driven in. Scott McGregor won his 13th game. Orioles beat the Rangers, 7-4, 1997. Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Geronimo Baroa, 2 ribbies. Jeff Rebele, 3-for-4 with an RBI. Scott Kamenicki picked up his 7th win. Randy Myers, his 30th save. Orioles 3-1 over the Rangers. 2012, Nolan, you'll remember this one. Maybe. Wilson Betemeat hit a home run. Nick Markakis, 3-for-4, 2 ribbies. Miguel Gonzalez beats the Yankees. Jim Johnson picked up his 31st save. 5-4 Baltimore over New York in the Bronx. And then 2 years ago, Oriole Park, Camden Yards against the Yankees. Frazier, 3-run homer. Orioles score 7 runs in the first as they bombard New York. Mike Bauman picked up his 8th win against 0 losses as the Orioles take out the Yankees 9-3 on this day. 2 years ago, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. We'll come back. Any questions for Vinny about what do you see in a camp so far? First week, any individual players you want to talk about, feel free to get in at 410-583-1057. Funhouse Trip coming up, Nolan McGraw. And then news from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Buy or sell 12:15. And we'll talk Orioles with Jim Hunter, our colleague here on 105.7 The Fan at 12:30. One of the many Ravens free agents pending in the offseason. But Adape Owe, we talked about it before last season. He had 13 sacks total. Heading into last year, got 10 last season. And, you know, was he a dominant, disruptive force in the Suggs, Lawrence Taylor, Derek Thomas, you know, that sort of level? But compared to where he was, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Question is, what is this package of pass rush moves and how much higher can he? What's the ceiling? Did we see the ceiling, Vinny, from Adape Owe in 2024? And is that good enough?
I don't know that. Hopefully we haven't seen the ceiling, Bob. We won't know that until, you know, we see the games and stuff. But, you know, he's got the outside speed. He's got dip, rip, bend, outside. He's got a bull rush. He's got a spin move. So, yeah, he's got more of a repertoire now. And the big thing with him is get off. You know, use your speed to get off the ball, you know, because if the biggest thing with them is if he gets off quick, then, you know, you kind of have the advantage because all of a sudden that old lineman, he's got to jump back. You know, he's got to kick out hard to you to stop the speed on the outside. And if he turns his shoulder, you can spin back in. So, you know, for him, everything starts with speed. Whereas with like Van Noy is going to kind of react to what the offensive tackle is doing because he knows every counter in the book. He's so smart.
Now, in regards to Adiz Isaac versus David Ajabo, because we've assumed they will fight it out for a spot on the roster with the other being on the bubble and, you know, the projections, not just locally, but throughout the NFL, in regards to that sort of thing, is Ajabo is going to be on the outside looking in through 1 week of training camp as he maybe even things a little bit.
Well, it looks like, you know, every day in practice, Bob, Ajabo's ahead of Isaac because... like the starters, Tavius Robinson, along with Van Noy.
Sure.
And then Owe and Ajabo come in. And then it's Isaac after that. So, Adiz Isaac has got some work to do. I mean, they're both going to be playing a ton in the preseason. And you know what? We're going to see who cream's going to rise to the top. You know, and that's Raven's just going to sit back and, all right, let's, who makes plays in the game? And that's who's going to deserve, you know, to be around. And is Ajabo more, is he quicker and more explosive off the ball? Yes. And is he more of a natural rusher? Probably, but he's just so inconsistent. And he likes, when he stands up, when Ajabo stands up, he's an extremely average player. The thing that hurts Isaac is the true speed. I think he's 4.74, you know, coming out of Penn State. So, he's got to show a more of a repertoire. Isaac needs to show more of a repertoire of moves, and Ajabo needs to be more. Because Ajabo will show it to you. Yep, that's what we want. But damn, you can't just do it one time. You know, you got to do it more and more and more. So those are the two dilemmas, Bob, with those two guys, in my opinion. You know, I mean, because Robinson's on the team. Everybody else is pretty much on the team. And even when you hear Chuck Smith talk about pass rush, you know, he mentions Adafe, he mentions Vannoy, and the third guy he mentions is Mike Green. It isn't Ajabo and anybody else. You know, that's where he goes to. So you kind of know the pecking order there, rushing the passer.
Now, we talked about Tavius Robinson, and you just brought him up with Charles Walker a couple of minutes ago. Like, is he a Pro Bowl guy?
No.
Is he in line to get a $110 million contract?
Nope.
Absolutely not. But every defense needs that guy, and he made some big plays for them in 2024 when expectations were low, not to level them up at all. But, you know, every team needs that solid yeoman's workman-like kind of guy, and he's an older draft pick entering his third year. I think teams benefit from having the Tavius Robinsons around.
Why did Oway go gain, what, 20 pounds? Because of Tavius Robinson. And why was that? Because in the Buffalo game, who started? Tavius Robinson. Why? Because Oway wasn't playing the run. So, I mean, that Tavius Robinson can set the edge, can play the run, and you can count on him on first, on rundowns. He's going to be in there for the Ravens, like probably him, Jenkins. You know, that's going to be their run-stopping deal. And Vannoy's usually in there, too. So when they start a game, Tavius Robinson's a starter. Then it adjusts quickly, you know, because they're going to be very flexible, very versatile. They're going to be doing a lot of things with their pass rushers and their inside backers other than Roquan. You know, and there's going to be a lot of DBs on the field, and there's going to be, you know, adjusting and moving, and, you know, they're going to line up Oway over to center. They're going to line up Vannoy over the, you know, they're going to situationally do those kind of things in different games. But they're going to be, and we heard Harb say yesterday, we are a blitzing team. We're an attacking team, and that's what they're going to be. They're going to come after them. This is going to be more like Mike McDonald's defense, I think, because they feel real good about the corners. And they got a lot of speed on defense, and they got a lot of guys that can blitz, and they got a lot of guys, a lot of DBs that are good at rushing the passer, as Kyle Hamilton is, and especially Marlon Humphrey, too.
Now, through the first week of training camp, and we've had back-to-back practices going Monday and Tuesday, give us a couple of players on either side of the ball who have made you notice in a good way, or it made you notice in a more disappointing way that, boy, I expect a little bit more from you. Granted, it's still very early, but preseason starts next week.
Yeah, two guys that kind of have just been consistently good throughout is Tez Walker, and I've talked about him a lot. You know, I've talked and Nate Wiggins. Those two guys, consistent, steady, making plays every day. And they both look very good. And the thing that I like about Wiggins is he wants to go up against the best all the time, just like Jair. And he's not grabbing and clutching all the time. He's playing, you know, not to get penalties, but he's got that speed where he can do it now. And he's got a lot of confidence out there right now. And I think having Jair, you know, with his confidence stuff, I think that's only going to help Wiggins. And I said this earlier about Tez Walker. That dude, man, he just catches the ball. And whenever it's thrown to him, he catches the ball. Coaches, quarterbacks love that. And he's getting better running routes. He's getting better with his separation. I think those two guys, you know, have kind of stood out. Now, some guys that haven't, like I, you know, we talked about him earlier. Adisa Isaac needs to step it up, and he needs to flash more and make more plays. You know, that's the thing with him. And anybody else that, you know, I'm kind of disappointed in? Not really. I'll even say Ben Cleveland looks a little better, you know.
Okay.
Like yesterday in pass pro, I thought he looked a little better. But guys that aren't playing well, really can't think of anybody that way, Bob, that just needs, you know, Ajabo needs to be more consistent, and, you know, we keep talking about that. But, no, other than that, I'm, you know, it's been pretty good.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, Nolan McGraw is going to join us. We're going to take a trip to his funhouse. News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. We're going to hear from Lamar Jackson. Mike Green, hear from him as he talked to the media a couple of days after his birthday. Buy or sell 12:15. Let's count some dough. That Vinny's headed out one winning drive, 1:15. Practice resumes, and then we'll talk to Jim Hunter about the Orioles, the series finale against the Blue Jays. Going for the sweep. Trade deadline's tomorrow at 6. Give you the lineups and all that good stuff. Orioles getting hot at the wrong time. Or do we have a miracle? Is there a miracle? Do you believe in miracles? We'll keep you up to date on all the things going on the trade deadline, which is tomorrow at 6. That Friday when we're ripping it with Ryan, we'll either rip or praise the moves Mike Elias has made, like the two trades so far. I don't know anything about these guys that they've acquired, but getting ranked prospects for two expiring contracts. Give him credit for that, for sure. Let's bring an old quick draw. Nolan, how you feeling on this Woman Crush Wednesday? That was the Pretenders, I guess. What?
There you go. All right. You're back.
Six or something.
You're back. Boost that average.
Yes.
He's like the Loopster the other day.
The Looper. I missed a long one, though.
Well, we get the station owner in here, then you start missing. Yeah. You know, the, under the pressure. You know,
when who the hell is that?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. Chuck.
The owner. Anyway, I'm doing good. I mean, how could you not be? The Orioles have won 5 in a row. And look, we talk about how this doesn't really mean anything in terms of the standings, and the season still is what it is. But I can't lie to you. I'm watching that game last night, and I'm enjoying myself, and I'm into it. You know, I'm engaged with every pitch, and that's the way it should be. And for these guys to not fold and quit on the season with a month left, 2 months left, I'm not praising them for that because it's what they should do. It's their job. But we've also seen some Orioles seasons that have been the exact opposite, where the team has folded down the stretch. 2018 immediately comes to mind.
Well, 2017, where they totally crapped the bed. Remember, they were all in, traded for Beckham, got the guy Hellickson, could have traded Manny at the highest value we ever had. And then in September, they just totally flushed, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, that was one where you could say, should they have actually been buyers or not? And then you'd actually judge the moves that they made. You know, it wasn't really anything over the moon. But I say 2018 because as time went on, stories came out about that team, you know, and what happened. And some of the players are pretty honest, like, hey, I mean, clubhouse was fractured towards the end of it. And that, of course, coincided with, you know, GM leaving, Buck leaving, new regime coming in. So it was sort of this changing of the guard. But that was miserable, an absolutely miserable finish where you could just see it on the players' faces. They didn't want to be there, pack it up, end the season. And I'll be honest, there's a couple weeks ago where watching this Orioles team, I was starting to see some of those same things. I've seen Gunnar, you know, slamming his helmet in the dugout, frustrated with himself. And I'm starting to get a little worried saying, hey, I mean, we got a long way to go here. You're not going to be playing meaningful games down the stretch. Is this team composed enough? Do they have the leadership in there to avoid a full meltdown? But here recently, it looks like they'll be able to avoid that. For such a young clubhouse, I think it is a good sign.
This is as fun as they've been to watch since maybe opening day. When they were blasted away against the Blue Jays, it would look like, oh my God, this is going to be the best offensive team ever. And then Kowser got hurt. Westberg got hurt in that series. Gunnar wasn't even out of Sarasota yet at that time. Yeah, it's too little, too late. And you're still all systems go with the trades. You're not keeping the band intact. You still have to proceed with business here. But yeah, I said, hey, man, next 2 months, this is a look at what next year could be like. But Mike Elias, big offseason for him. He has got to add in a big way to the equation, especially in the bullpen and in the rotation. Because, again, we don't know what Batista's deal is. And I'll bet you a buck that Grayson Rodriguez isn't throwing a pitch anytime soon for the Orioles.
Well, that's one thing we can guarantee. Yeah. As far as bullpen arms, I mean, it's going to be a lot of the Corbin Martins guys coming up that we haven't heard of before, and they'll get their shot. I'll say this right now. Don't be surprised if C&L Perez comes back. Still in the organization.
Oh, yeah.
When he got DFA'd, went back to AAA. So, look, it's a numbers game at a certain point, depending on how many guys end up leaving. And if you start dealing starters and losing guys that are reliable there, well, now your bullpen's even more taxed. So, I think it could be a revolving door here of names.
Well, just keep on putting up some crooked numbers and let the other team have to match you, maybe, in that regard. Nolan, any issues with what's going on at one winning drive here through the first week of training camp?
Well, other than you jinxing their injury luck.
Hey, but Bateman was back yesterday. Armour Davis, though.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah, what's going on with that, by the way?
Armour Davis, I mean, you could set your watch to him.
You know what's funny is nobody even asked about him.
Yeah, because he's lower body injury or soft tissue.
Soft tissue.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that was kind of you, because you had already gone out to the training camp, and I'm like, hey, the good thing about camp is we're not hearing about people missing practice. And no. Then Bateman was sick. Alexander had the knee drain, but he was back yesterday.
Yes, he was.
And then Armour Davis got hurt literally that day at practice.
Well, maybe when I go out there today, Bob, I'll text you and say five is out there, which is Armour Davis.
Yeah, and that'll be good to see. But, you know, we're 7 days away from the preseason opener. Likely's injury, and Vinny said, you know, pump the brakes, nothing to see here, but he's going to miss the rest of training camp, and who knows how much he would have played in the preseason anyway. But he's an integral part of an offense that we think is going to be one of the best in the National Football League.
Yeah, I don't think he'd have played a snap in a preseason, Bob, but those two game, you know, two practices against Indy and Washington would have been big for him.
Right, yeah, you want the reps, obviously, but yep. The first thing I thought of as soon as the injury happened was, besides, obviously, you know, oh, crap, you know, how long could he possibly be out? The other thing that immediately came to mind is all those people calling for Mark Andrews to be traded. Just get rid of him. Yeah. We don't need him. We've got Likely. This is what happens. Take the depth when you have it. All right. There was a bunch of different factors in the Mark Andrews conversation. A lot of reasons why he didn't end up getting moved. But to me, you've seen Andrews get hurt in the past. And having Isaiah Likely was a godsend and helped save this offense. So it goes both ways, right? Having both of them on the field at the same time would be huge for the Ravens. But the fact that you can at least have one of them keeps everything afloat. I'm disappointed for Likely. And if he did miss regular season time, I'd be even more disappointed. But I have no concerns over how this impacts the team itself or their chance to win games right now.
You know what, Nolan? That's a good point. Because if they would have traded Andrews, all right, the drop-off between, let's say, having Andrews with Likely out compared to Charlie Kohler, that is huge.
Well, they'd probably be scrambling to find somebody that's available.
Yeah, because I'm not big on anybody that else is out there, you know, on their roster. But, yeah, Charlie Kohler's a different, you know, where Charlie Kohler's 6'7", and he's not sudden in anything he does, which, you know, Likely is sudden. And Likely and Andrews is really good at running down the field, catching those back shoulder ones down the middle of the field and stuff. So yeah, it would have been, and maybe, you know what, with that, if that would have been the case, maybe then they're playing, you know, D-Hop is playing more because, you know, you're not going to play, I'd rather play D-Hop than play Kohler.
Yeah, fair point.
Does it maybe give Tez Walker a little more?
No doubt. In my mind, it would have. You know, if Andrews wasn't there and Likely's out, absolutely. You know, and maybe for the first game, okay, we're going in, we're playing four wides, and that's what we're doing. And, you know, we're not playing too tights other than maybe some run stuff with Kohler.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. News from the Nest here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Going to hear from some participants out there at One Winning Drive. Chuck Smith's always fun to listen to. Mike Green, got a lot of expectations for him. John Harbaugh as well. And Lamar was on NFL Network, had some things to say. Jim Hunter joining us at 12:30 to talk about the Orioles finale against the Blue Jays coming up. Trade deadline tomorrow at 6. But in between, buy or sell. Hopefully we're counting some dough.